welcome back inside the cave. Pat Hayes, John Roberts with you this morning. And as always, on this segment, we have John Borton from the Wolverine magazine on the other end of our line this morning. Good morning, John.
Morning, Pat.
Well, it's all over but the shout now, as we are down to just a couple of days before the semifinal game, Michigan and TCU. What's the latest from your vantage point?
Well, some of the latest is, I would say the biggest news on Michigan's end is, you know, they let the media in for just that little B-roll filming in practice the other day, and we saw that Mike Morris was out there and doing everything that he needed to do and declared himself healthy and good to go, and that's a huge aspect for the Michigan defense. You look at this guy, he probably was Michigan's defensive MVP this year, and certainly a big part of that pass rush that is expected to get after Max Duggan for TCU. So that would be the biggest thing. I would say Donovan Edwards with a downsized cast on that right hand is also a development that we've seen. Other than that, it's just the usual pregame, grudging respect for the opponent and all of that sort of thing.
I think I saw a picture. A.J. Henning was in street clothes during that practice. Is he going to be able to play?
That is, I would say that might be more of a game time decision. We haven't heard anything definitive on him, and they're keeping that pretty close to the vest. Others noted that Andrell Anthony, the sophomore wide receiver, was out there as well in uniform, but kind of hanging back in some of what was being done. So, yeah, that would be a couple of skill position players that you're going to want to keep an eye on Saturday.
Hi, John. John Roberts here.
Hey, John.
Probably with Henning, more of an impact maybe even on special teams than offense, although he does see, you know, a good amount of time on offense as well.
No question. They've got plenty of guys to catch the football and some guys that can still run the jet sweeps and all. Mm-hmm. But for sure, A.J. Henning is going to be counted on, if he's available, to maybe break a couple things in the special teams in the return game. If he is not available, you do have other options, but certainly you're not going to try Donovan Edwards back there,
right,
with a cast on one hand. So they have to get a little creative there. They certainly have some other explosive guys that could be in that situation, but if you're Jim Harbaugh, you're hoping that you can use your guy that's been back there all year.
Well, you talk about creativity. We've seen a lot of that, especially in the last couple of games, a jump pass for a first down and some misdirection stuff that that Michigan hasn't shown in the past.
Yeah, no doubt, Pat. And some of that Michigan admitted was saved specifically for Ohio State. They had that jump pass ready to go for the 2021 game, and the defense never deployed in a way that lent itself to Michigan running it. And this year, of course, you saw Kalel Mullings make that jump pass, although he admitted afterwards he did not see the receiver. He just knew where he thought he was going to be and looped it out there. You're going to have some things specifically designed, because as soon as they knew they were going to play TCU, those guys in the film room go to work overtime to check out where the weaknesses are, what's going to work, what can we try, what do we have saved in the bag of tricks for this one. I think back to a year ago when they had Donovan Edwards throw the 75-yard touchdown pass against Iowa in the Big Ten championship game. And there'll be other things like this, but I really believe that if TCU deploys a straight 3-3-5 against this Michigan team, it could be they could go into a Wisconsin mode of thinking and just go to crush them. I remember we have bad flashbacks to the early days of Rich Rodriguez and Wisconsin running the same play 40 times in a row against the 3-3-5, and it didn't matter. They couldn't stop it. So I think Michigan's going to really want to test TCU out on the ground, first of all, and branch out from there.
And that's exactly where I was going to go, John, knowing that the 3-3-5 is more of a spread offense-defense concept.
Exactly.
It really, you know, Michigan wants to play in that phone booth and run the football with multiple tight ends and extra offensive linemen. I can't imagine that's how they're going to line up and hope to stop Michigan's rushing attack. They're going to have to bring, you know, we read about the five defensive backs, and I think that plays right into Michigan's strength if they don't come up with some wrinkles to that package.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, Tom Crawford and I were talking about this on our podcast this week. That's one thing to look for in the TCU defense. What do they do to try and overcome facing what it has? The offensive line has won the Joe Moore Award for the second straight year as the best offensive line in the country. They're going to have to find a way to get a little extra beef up front and not run a straight 3-3-5 that is, as you said, used to getting after the spread offenses and covering in that way. So it's one thing that I'm going to be looking at very closely to see how they deploy and how they try to slow down Michigan's running attack. They've expressed, it came out of the TCU camp that said, look, if you stop Michigan's running game, you basically stop their offense. And my take on that was you're going to have a bunch of offensive linemen thinking, well, you're not going to stop Michigan's running attack. a little motivation there. And for J.J. McCarthy thinking, I can throw the ball.
Yeah, he proved that against Ohio State.
Yes, no doubt about it.
Well, you talk about Max Duggan, the quarterback for TCU. Pretty elusive quarterback. And, of course, Michigan has seen elusive quarterbacks this season. How do you think they're going to do against Duggan?
Well, he's the kid tough as the day is long. You saw that in their last outing. He's the biggest reason I would say that TCU is even in the playoffs at this point, because if you had continued on the blowout track in that last game, I don't think that they'd have been allowed to stay put. But because Max Duggan was able to rally that team, and just on pure guts and his ability to create plays and run the ball himself and bring that team back to make it as close as they did, that gave the committee reason enough to keep them in place. And, you know, all due respect to him, he is a very accurate passer. He's piled up big numbers this year, and he is extremely tough. So you can build a lead in this game, but don't think that you don't have to keep playing, because there's no doubt. Michigan's been the second-half team, but you don't want to be in a situation with TCU where, you know, you've given them confidence and they're still in striking distance at the start of the fourth quarter.
And I think that's one of the interesting aspects of this matchup, John, is that you do have a team that's been dominant in the second half playing a team that is really never out of the game till the final whistle.
Right. Well, then that harkens back to the Illinois game.
Mm.
All of a sudden, you're in this dogfight in the end of the game, and you don't have your best two running backs. Now, Donovan Edwards is definitely available for this one, and Michigan has the advantage of gaining strength, actually, personnel-wise. I already mentioned Mike Morris, but you've got other guys that were hurting at the end of the season that are going to be in a better position. But Michigan has not had to deal with a lot of situations where it's a cliffhanger in the end. As I said, their offense is then play a cliffhanger to the half and then push the other team off the cliff in the second half. So that's one thing that could get very interesting if TCU is able to hang around like it did and like it has in a number of these games down the stretch.
Well, and you mentioned, you know, the Illinois game, and I think one of the things that has kind of flown under the radar with Michigan all year is the excellent play of their special teams. Their kicking game has been such a huge factor in a lot of their wins this year.
No doubt. Jake Moody is just, I mean, they call him Money Moody, and that's a very accurate sobriquet, as they say. It's, you put that guy on there, and you just know. I mean, he's got range out to 55 yards. He has been super steady. That's a big deal. Now, I will say this, that you haven't seen that same consistency at all times out of the punting game.
Mm.
And, you know, you wonder if the controlled conditions, the warmer climate is going to help that in this game. But that's something to watch as well. But overall, you're right. Michigan's special teams have been exceptional this year.
Well, again, I think it's going to come down to that offensive line of Michigan to create those holes for those running backs, and also the defensive line to prevent any long plays, any chunk plays by TCU.
No doubt. And I just think that that's where Michigan's going to have the advantage. They are they're both lines. They have controlled things. They have learned the last couple of years that is absolutely the way to beat Ohio State, and have asserted their will on other teams, and that is the way they're going to want to go about this one. You keep the turnovers to a minimum, which they have done brilliantly all year. J.J. McCarthy has been exceptional in that respect, and you control both lines, and that's how they're going to want to go about winning this one. How TCU stands up to that, we'll see. But so far, so good in terms of anyone else really being able to get the upper hand there.
And you know, you talk about the line play, and I just think that's going to be the hallmark of Michigan going forward. It goes back to when Harbaugh was a player under Bo. They always had outstanding offensive and defensive fronts, guys that could play at the next level, and I think that's what you see on Michigan's roster right now and have for the past year or two.
And we'll continue to.
Yes.
I mean, you just look at this in the era of what I call football free agency, college football free agency. You've already brought in through the portal three 300-pound offensive linemen for next year. That's like getting a 4 or 5 star recruit.
Sure.
that you automatically tack on 3 or 4 years of experience and weight training and all of that other, and an edge rusher the same. So they are clearly building with an eye towards keeping that advantage up front on either side of the football.
And speaking of the line, John, I saw an interview with Sharon Moore this week talking about him as a head coaching candidate, and I thought he had a great response that, you know, that their time will come for that, you know, as long as we keep being successful at what we're doing. And, you know, that's part of the job, is those assistants are going to get looks the more success Michigan has.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. You want to keep this is, I would say, the best staff, Michigan staff, that I have seen since the early 1990s, when you had all kinds of guys that went on to be head coaches, whether it be Cam Cameron or Les Miles or some of those guys. And you want to keep them together. Sharon Moore, the longer that he can stay, the better, certainly. I keep saying that they're going to change the Joe Moore Award to the Sharon Moore Award if they keep winning, the best offensive line in the country. So, that is the dangerous side of being as good as they have been the last couple of years. You can create interest in your coaches going elsewhere.
All right, John, you have a projected score for the game?
I do. I put it out there on our board, and it's going to be, in my mind, another one of those where Michigan, it tough for a half, and then they pull away. I've got it Michigan 41 and TCU 24.
All right, I'm going to go with 34-17.
Okay.
I've had
the same spread.
Yep,
38-28. All right, a little tighter. Very legitimate.
All right, John, before we let you go, we need to talk about women's basketball. Michigan, a nice conference win over Nebraska, 76-59 last night, moving their record to 12-1. The ladies are doing very, very well.
There's no doubt about it. Just keep rolling. And Kim Barnes-Arico, we talked about her before. What a fantastic job with this program, not just this team, but this program over the last several years. And they look like, once again, they're going to shape up to be an NCAA contender and someone that, you know, it just goes by increments. They'll look this year to go just that much farther when they make it. It's, you know, Michigan says in football, we don't want to just be here in the playoffs this year. We want to advance. And Michigan's women's basketball, they'll feel the same way. Okay, it's time to take those next steps.
All right, John, we're out of time, but we want to remind folks how they can get a copy of the Wolverine magazine.
Yeah, you can get the monthly magazine by calling 800-421-7751. And don't forget to check us out on a daily basis on the On3.com network. Look up the Wolverine, and you can see all the podcasts and all the analysis and everything right on a 24-hour basis.
All right, John, thanks for joining us again today. We'll talk to you next week, hopefully talking about a Michigan victory.
There you go. Look forward to it. Thanks, Pat.
All right. John Borton from the Wolverine Magazine, our guest here on Inside the Cave. We'll be back with our final segment right after these.